Mulishani Makwai. We know. Nifuna kupasamone kuperere ndi mpingo wa Baptist pa Zambia, kuperere ndi zina la tate ndi mwana ndi mzimuera. I bring you greetings from our churches in Zambia in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm greeting my brothers here in Bimba. I just know a little bit, but it's good to see some Zambian folks here. It is an honor to be here. I think I would rather face Buffalo with my 375, but I realize I do have my 375 in my hand here, and that it does a lot more damage than my gun does. It is good to be with you. I appreciate Dr. and Mrs. Patterson and how they've ministered to us over the years, and different ones of you who have been to Zambia and been with us, and see so many friends here. And Dr. McGorman, being able to see you, you taught me, and we just have learned a lot. We're just thankful for the opportunity to be here today. If you want to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, most of you know this passage of Scripture, and we're going to look at verses 35 through 38. The Lord gave me this passage back several years ago. The reason why is I preached this sermon. This was my first sermon in Nyanja. Now, the thing that you have to realize is that I read this for about 2 years, and I really struggled. On Sunday mornings, Lindy said, "You got to get out of bed because you're the preacher today." And I said, "I don't want to go." I felt like I had finally arrived. I could speak and preach in English. And now I was having to start all over again and preach in another language. And basically, I just read the sermon. I know, Dr. Patterson, you'd be upset at me, but I had to use my notes. But anyway, we read this sermon. And so I never wanted to see this passage again. But finally, the Lord gave it back to me because it has a lot to say to us today. And as we look at it, I want you to understand the struggle, because we wanted our Zambian people to know what they needed to be about. And I was very fortunate to be able to work with some great people of the Lord. In fact, Dr. Patterson, we actually started 230 churches. And it wasn't about me, it wasn't about anybody, it was about the Lord. And as we sang the song today, Jesus on the cross, that's what it's all about. And let's read this passage, let's stand as we read. And Jesus was going through all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Seeing the people, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest that he will send out his workers into his harvest." Let's pray. Lord, we want you to be honored by your word today, and we just pray that you'll give your servants your words. We ask these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like I said, this is a passage of Scripture that I struggled with, and like I said, on Sunday, I hated reading, getting up and reading my sermon. What finally got me over the hump is I had gone to all the churches. We had 12 or so churches that we originally started with, and so I had to get a new sermon. Of course, the other thing was that I had been teaching enough in the villages and where we had new churches that I began to develop my language skills. And so, therefore, I was out because of the teaching that we were able to do. I was able to begin to preach in other passages of Scripture. In fact, now I probably feel more comfortable preaching in Nyanja than I do English, but I've had a lot more opportunity to preach. I feel very strong that as people of God, we need to do a couple of things in order to plant churches. First one is to learn the language, amen, spend time with the people, and as Jesus did here, he taught and he proclaimed the Word of God. And so I've said over the years, if you want to do something, if you go to Maine or if you go to Zambia, I don't care where you go, you learn the language and you spend time with the people, because that's what makes a difference. Now, let's look at this passage of Scripture. Jesus was going through all the cities and the villages, and notice what he did. He taught them in the synagogues, and he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Folks, that's what we need to be about. We need to do the things that Jesus did, and that is to teach in the synagogue. Now, we don't have synagogues, but we do have places that we need to teach. And in Zambia, where I would teach is in the village centers. And because we were able to teach, people would flock to hear what we had to say. And it was amazing to me to see how people who began to trust Christ as their Savior were completely changed because of the Word of God. And when I went to Zambia, it was amazing to me to see people who were already there, that God had already placed there, and they were willing to go and to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Now, I'm going to say a name to you today. Rodney knows him very well. His name is Samson Njovu. Njovu is our word for elephant. Samson, you would not be impressed with. Samson would smell offensive to you. You know, he's walked 10 miles a day. I can say that today. Probably walked 10 miles a day to tell someone about Christ. And then he would teach them what he knew. Samson doesn't speak very good English. But you know what's special about Samson? He's planted over 150 churches. Because he believes that as you go through the villages, that he was just doing what Jesus did. He taught people in the places that they need. The special thing about Samson is he's part of the chief's family of the Nsanga. And Samson just believes, he knows everybody. Isn't that right, Rodney? He knows everybody. No matter where you go. But you know, God's used that gift to reach Zambia for Christ. And so as he went and as Jesus went, he taught in the synagogues, in the religious places of the world. And then he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom. Now, all of you know what that means. The gospel of the kingdom. Evangelion. You know that. The good news of the gospel. You know, I walked through the student center today and the news was on and there was Fox News on. And, you know, we got a newspaper, Fort Worth Star Telegram, when we were staying at the hotel, and I began to look at the front page. And I looked there and I saw all this bad news. And you know what? As Christians, we have the good news to proclaim. And that's what Jesus did. And you realize that when Jesus proclaimed the gospel, the people were amazed at what he was proclaiming, because nothing like that had been proclaimed up to that time. In fact, all they had heard was tradition. That's why Jesus went into the synagogue to teach, because they were hearing the law and the prophets, and then those who were religious leaders in that day and time were adding tradition to it. And when you hear Jesus talk, he says, I'm here to fulfill the law and the prophets, not tradition. You know, Lindy and I grew up as preacher's kids. Both of our fathers attended this seminary. And you know, there were some traditions that we had. One of them for preacher's kid was, we don't drink and chew and go with girls that do. Another tradition that we had as preacher's kids is preacher's kids don't dance. So we lived up to that perfectly. But you know what's funny is Lindy's gone to Zambia and she's learned to dance in church. Because our people in Zambia love to dance in church and sing. They're great singers. I mean, I enjoyed this today. I see the Con 88H. I have one of those too. And thank you guys for playing. But it's amazing to see how much tradition has come in, rather than doing what Jesus did and preach the Word of God. You know, I'm amazed at what people put in and bring in as tradition. One of the traditions we have in Zambia is a uniform, because everybody else does that. And sometimes that's used to abuse people, rather than allowing them to have the freedom in Christ. They abuse people because if you don't have a uniform, they can charge you for it sometimes. Or they can say, you know, you're not doing such and such, you're not a part of this, so, you know, you need to move on. And so we need to be careful that we're proclaiming the good news of the gospel, not traditions. And I just remember growing up, there being traditions sometimes. And so that's what Jesus, he went through the cities and the villages teaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. And I'm amazed when I read in the New Testament when Jesus preached. I like Mark 1:38, where it says there that he said, "We must move on so that I can preach the gospel. That's what I've come to do." And we need to preach the gospel wherever we are, in whatever language we're speaking in. Preach the gospel, because that's what makes a difference. You know, I told you that I hated getting up on Sundays when I was learning the language and preaching. It wasn't real good. It wasn't pretty sight. I felt like I could communicate much better in English if I do that. But we had made a commitment that we were going to do everything in the language. And what was amazing to me, even in my frailty, even in my not being able to handle the language, God still spoke. It's not about the messenger. It's about the message. It's always about the message. And we need to understand today that it doesn't matter how eloquent you are, how well you speak, we need to proclaim the gospel to a lost world that needs to hear it today. The good news of the gospel. You know, you can find all the bad news you want to find. And too many times we as proclaimers of the gospel would rather dwell on the bad news than the good news that we have. You know, this brother here, he's got a hard job ahead of him, but he's going to be proclaiming the gospel in places that you and I will never get. But he has the opportunity. But there are opportunities that you have to proclaim the good news of the gospel that others won't have as well. You know, it's funny. I've been amazed that where my hunting has taken me. I have a group of men in Zambia, professional hunters, who call me their pastor. Most of them aren't saved, but they do hear the gospel regularly. In fact, it was funny. We were chasing buffalo one day, and we ran out of water. And we still had 6 hours to get back to our vehicle. Now, you need to understand this is Africa, and when you run out of water, that's a pretty serious situation. So I'm sitting there with two professional hunters and another man that was Special Forces in South Africa. And every morning before we ever started, they would always ask me to pray. It's just amazing how God works. So I would pray. And as we were walking back, I said, "You know what, guys, this reminds me of a scripture." Of course, they're going, "Oh, what's this guy? What is going on?" And I said, "You know, Psalms 42 verse 1 says this, 'Like a deer panteth after water, so my soul panteth after you.'" I said, "You guys would do anything for a drink of water right now. We're a pretty desperate situation." But that's the way we need to be in our relationship with the Lord. And you know, they began and they understood what I was talking about. So proclaiming the good news of the gospel, notice that he went on and he healed every disease and every kind of sickness. Now, folks, you need to understand, I've been able to pray for people and I've seen healing take place. And that's only because of what the Lord has done. But you know, the special healing that takes place is when we introduce people to Christ. And they are healed to the very depths of their soul. They're removed from the burden of sin that has crushed them for years and years. And all of a sudden they know Christ and they're free in Christ. And what He does in their lives and how He changes their lives makes a difference. It's amazing to me to see that difference take place over years. And then all of a sudden that word begins to become flesh in their lives and they get out there and proclaim the good news of the gospel. That's what healing's about. And we can be a part of that whole process. Just as Jesus went through the villages and the cities, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every kind of sickness. Isn't that amazing that we have a Lord like that? Then notice what takes place. Seeing the people, He felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Seeing the people. How many times do we look over people? People at Walmart. People in the line. People this or that. How many times do we not see them? We need to see people like Jesus saw people. And notice the next word is that He felt compassion for them. That word there means that from the depths of His soul, He felt compassion for a lost world. And He saw them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. That word distressed and dispirited is that they had no hope. Because the religious rulers in that day and time were burdening them down. You know, I know you've read about it, but they had traditions. They had over 600 laws that they burdened people down with. Rather than making them free in Christ or free in the Word of God, they burdened the people down. And it says here that Jesus saw them and had compassion on them because they were without hope. You've been in that situation? People who are distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. There are billions of people in this world today who are distressed and dispirited. People without hope. And many of you today know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And that is the reason you have hope. And our lost world needs to hear about Christ. And notice what it says. It continues to say that they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Several years ago, I was going in an area near South Luangwa Game Park. And we've been working, Lenny and I have been working in that area for several years now, trying to encourage the churches in that area, because the people group in that area is a people group of less than 100,000, so the board will not appoint someone to that area. And so we've been working in that area, and God has really blessed, and I'd heard about a new church. And I was with Samson and Jovu, and I was trying to travel, and we were going on this road trying to find this church. And we were traveling down, and we were going through a forest, and I looked forward and I saw some animals ahead, and I noticed that there were some cattle and some sheep and some goats all in this group of animals. So I slowed down. Now, one of the things that you learn to do in Africa is if when you see animals, you slow down because you don't want to disturb the animals and them just go all over the place. Well, I saw the young man, about 12, 13 years old, who happened to be the shepherd of this group. And as soon as he saw me, he took off running. And so I jump out of the truck and I say this in Yanja, Bwerekuna ofanika kusamala ndi yama. You must come back and take care of your animals. And when they saw this big white man, you have to understand I'm big for Mozambians, okay? When they saw this big white man speaking in his language, he even ran faster. So he takes off running, and there was no hope for the animals after that. So the cattle kind of go off one way, and the goats go off one way, and the sheep are everywhere. And it reminded me of this scripture. It reminded me that they were sheep without a shepherd. And when I look at our world today, I see a world that is like sheep without a shepherd. And they need the good shepherd that is spoken about in John 10. And they need to hear about Jesus because he's the one that makes a difference. Yes, I'm a preacher's kid. But I still needed to trust Christ as my Savior when I was 9 years old. My father could not save me. In fact, my grandfather attended this seminary. And there was nothing they could do other than to introduce me to Christ. And folks, there's a world out there today that needs to hear about Jesus because they are dispirited and distressed like sheep without a shepherd. And the only one who can make a difference in their life is Jesus Christ. You're in this room today because of what Christ has done in your life and the difference that he has made. And we need to know that there's a world out there that is as lost as it can be and needs to know who Jesus is. And as we look at this passage, we see that there are people that need to know that shepherd that we know because he's the one that can make a difference in their life. Then notice what takes place. Now, one of the things that's interesting about this passage of Scripture, it's a transitional verse of Scripture. Verse 9, prior to verse 10, it talks about what Jesus did. Starting with verse 10, you're introduced to the disciples, and then it talks about what the disciples did with Jesus. Because they weren't supposed to sit around and do nothing. In fact, I always tell people that Christianity is not a spectator sport. But yet too many times Christians are spectators rather than participants with God. And so as we see what's taking place, there's a transition you see later on, but Jesus tells them what they're to be about. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest that he will send out workers into his harvest." The harvest is plentiful. In Zambia, we've been very blessed. Because the harvest we've been able to gather bit by bit. And it's amazing to see what God has done in that country. And we have 48 missionaries. In fact, two missionaries are from Southwestern. Both couples, I'm just so impressed with. One couple are the Helgrins, and they work with the Nsanga people. And he's actually going into Mozambique and working with the group of believers that have already been established in the eastern part of Zambia and then going into Mozambique. Then we have a couple by the name of the Adairs. And if you look at the map of Zambia, they're right up at the top, right by the Congo border. When the Adairs went to Zambia about 2.5 years ago, there were no churches among the Tabwa people. Now there's 7. I saw the baptism of the first Tabwa man in Zambia. Folks, they're there. Takes them 2 days to get to Lusaka, where I live. They make a significant impact upon the world for Jesus Christ. No, we didn't have a church among the Tabwa people. Now we have 7. I'm sure there'll be more. And what happens is that's a jumping off point and we're able to go into the Congo. And what's significant to me about what's taking place in Zambia, if we can have 10,000 churches in Zambia, we can begin to, we'll say that Zambia's reach. But the amazing thing about Zambia is that when you see it, it's right in the center of Africa. And my challenge to Zambians today is that one day they're sending missionaries to the othermost parts of the earth. We have a word. It's called Masompenya. My vision for Zambia is that we're sending missionaries out. Who's more resourceful people? They know how to live in the bush. They know how to function. And they can make a difference in people's lives. Because what we're looking here, it talks about the harvest is plenteous, but the workers are few. Now, I want to share with you a little bit as we come around a little bit and close in. Sometimes I know people say we're about to finish and they go for another 30 minutes. But if you will, I want us to be Acts 1:8 people. You know, I'm a Southern Baptist. And I'm speaking to Southern Baptists here today. We need to be Acts 1:8 people. When you look at Acts 1:8, it says, "You shall be my witnesses," where? "In Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and to the remotest parts of the earth." Now, you all know when we talk about those three places, it's funny, we have some churches in the east where I've working. You know what their names are? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. I don't have one named remotest parts of the earth yet. But I know I've been there. Ed, isn't that right? We've been to the remotest parts of the earth. But anyway, when you look at that verse, God is not a bad strategy. He doesn't do bad strategy. In fact, let me just share this with you before we go there. When I was at this seminary, I wanted nothing to do with missions. I thought I would be a pastor, risk my life. So when we had missions week, I didn't attend. But God, through Ed Miller and another missionary, said, "Mike, you'll be a good missionary." And Ed said this, that 95% of the preachers are preaching to 5% of the world. And 5% of the preachers are preaching to 95% of the world. God's not a bad, he doesn't make bad strategy, folks. People are just not responding to the call. And when I heard that statement, I said, we've at least got to look and see if God is calling us to missions. And what I want to go back to when we talk about Acts 1:8, Jesus had a plan. And he says, "I want a fourth of you to go to Jerusalem. I want a fourth of you to go to Judea. I want a fourth of you to go to Samaria. And I want a fourth of you to go to the remotest parts of the earth." That's the way it should be, folks. And yet we're proud that we have 5,000 missionaries on the field of Southern Baptist. We spend more money on buildings as Southern Baptists than we do on lost people in the world. Come on, folks, what are we doing? And you know what? Your pastors, your leaders in the church in the future, you are the ones that are going to lead the way. How are you going to lead? "Well, I can't do that." My mom had a proverb, "Can't never could." When you say, "I can't," I did that, I know. When I sat in these seats, I said, "I'm not going to be a missionary." But folks, God is calling people out. And he's calling some of you. And I really do think that he's calling a fourth of you to be in Jerusalem missions and Judea missions and Samaria missions and world missions. I know you're quiet. It is real quiet, folks. But am I telling the truth? Folks, we need to be serious about reaching lost people for Christ. It's not a game. And we can continue to spend money in other ways instead of for lost people, and we can continue to do that, and we can neglect what God has called us to do. We need to be about God's business, and it says here that Jesus taught and preached and went and proclaimed the gospel and healed all kinds of sickness. That's what we're to be about. It's not a game, folks. We're talking about souls here that Jesus saw and had compassion for. Now, I know I've challenged you. We're going to have an invitation. I'm going to ask you today to just let God have His way and let Him tell you where He wants you to go. And I don't know everybody here today, but we have a proverb in Nyanja. It goes like this. And what that says is a fig on the outside looks very nice, but on the inside there's always worms. First time I preached that sermon, I was standing in a church. We were meeting under a fig tree. I reached up and grabbed a fig out of that tree, and I opened it up, and I said, look, and there were worms and ants on the inside. I reached down, I grabbed one of those figs, I opened it up, and there was the same thing. Look, Onani, look. And the people laughed. Folks, if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're just like that fig. Jesus needs to come in, take out the bad, put in His Spirit, so that you can know Him personally. So my invitation to you is twofold. First of all, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, this is your opportunity. Second is that what is God calling you to do? Brother Patterson.
And a couple of three of you professors, if you will, I'd like for you to come stand here at the front, if you will, just for a moment. No.